So our service today is about time and thinking about how we use our time. So I wanted to share with you that one of the great challenges for me in being a minister is that most of my time is up to me to schedule. I have some office hours, but I certainly don't have an 8 to 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock job, like many of you do or have had in the past. And the openness of unscheduled time is both wonderful and challenging. It can feel like never working because I get to be at home a lot, but more often it feels like always working. So I've started using a little app on my phone to help me keep track of what I'm doing. And as many of you know, I just got back from a 2-week vacation last week. I returned to work on Tuesday. And because of that little app I use to track my time, I can tell you with confidence that there have been 4 days this week that I've worked 10 hours each. And I'm not telling you this for you to feel alarmed or concerned about me. It's not unusual for work to pile up a little bit when you've been on vacation. I know we all experience that. And we have a pledge drive kicking off, and it's time to plan the budget and a bunch of things that feel like extra. And that's just how it is sometimes. I do not work 50 hours a week all the time. I guarantee you. The little app tells me that too. But I'm telling you all of this because I want you to know that I know what it is to have a lot to do. I don't have children or grandchildren, as many of you do. I don't work at a desk all the time. As many of you do, but my schedule is full, just as I know yours often is. So I guess I'm telling you all this so you will understand that I am an expert on what I'm talking about today. Which is this: if your life is too full or too busy, if you feel like the work in your life is never done and you are overwhelmed and you are rushing from one thing to the next, I am inviting you to stop and consider that this situation will never change. Not on its own. If you think you're going to eventually get all the work done, or that your schedule will clear up on its own, I'm here to suggest that that is not going to happen. Of course, we all get breathers, right? The landscaping project eventually finishes, or you finally get all your things unpacked, or your visiting relatives return to their own homes, and we say, oh, now things can get back to normal. But what happens? We eventually find that we are overwhelmed again by some new convergence of events and responsibilities. Why does this happen? Each of us will have a particular story of what's going on in our lives that contributes to overwhelm. Doctor's appointments, important projects at work, looking at colleges with your children, helping with your grandchildren. But the upshot is most of us are doing the things we do because they are important to us and they must get done. We do all these things because they are important things to do. That's why the work is never done, and that's why the schedule never clears up much beyond short windows of time. I'm telling you this because if it's not the workload that's going to change, then something else needs to change. Because even if our lives are full of things we want to be doing, or at least things we have to do because they're important or unavoidable, even if that's not going to change for most of us, the sense that our lives are too full and moving too fast and are too overwhelming, that sense makes this pace hard to live with, right? That headlong tumble into the next moment does not feel good. If the to-do list is not going to get substantially shorter, then I want to suggest we need to build into the to-do list more margin, a little more breathing room between one thing and the next thing. As far as I can discover, this term margin, used this way, comes from author Richard Swenson, who writes about margin, contentment, simplicity, and balanced living. In his book, A Minute of Margin, Restoring Balance to Busy Lives, he writes, "Margin is the space between our load and our limits. We do not follow 2 inches behind the next car on the interstate. That would leave no margin for error. We do not allow only 2 minutes to change planes in Chicago. That would be foolish in the extreme. We do not load boats until they are nearly submerged. That would invite disaster. Why then do we insist on leaving no buffer, no space, no reserves in our day-to-day?" End quote. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. How close are you to carrying a load that approaches your limits? We know what that feels like, many of us. Not all the time, but you know, we get there, that feeling of, I can't take any more. We start to shut down spiritually and emotionally. I know for me, it feels like a wall goes up inside. We literally can't do any more than we're doing. So how do we build more margin into our day-to-day? That's for you to figure out. What kind of margin is helpful is going to be different for each of us. But my suggestion is to decide on some rules for yourself and then to stick with them. So some ideas for what could be helpful rules. Taking a 15-minute break after every hour that you spend working. 15 minutes to go outside and stand in the sun. Maybe take a walk. Don't schedule meetings or commitments or activities back to back all day long, but require a half an hour break or more in between things. If you use any kind of calendar system to like write these things right in, I have it on my phone so I can schedule the time to say break, go outdoors, stop working. Make time with friends or family a regular part of that schedule. I have lunch once a month with a close friend, and at the end of each lunch date, we schedule the next one. So it's on our calendars first, and everything else fills in around it. I also have a regular phone call every 2 weeks with a good friend, and so that's on my schedule months in advance. While you're at it, go ahead and put rest breaks onto your schedule so they're in place, helping remind you not to schedule things there. If you tend to skip meals, put your meals on your schedule. If you feel rushed when you need to get from place to place, schedule an extra half hour of travel time. When I worked as a hospital chaplain, the first few months in particular, I was consistently late for meetings with other chaplains. And I realized it was because I'd see like, well, the meeting starts in an hour. I have time to visit another patient. And I didn't have time to visit another patient. So all of that, it felt really weird to me to say, well, the meeting's in an hour. I better get ready for the meeting. But that's what it took for me to not always be late for the meetings. That's margin. So in other words, think about the parts of your day or week that are giving you trouble and consider how building in some margin will help. And then once you find something that works for you, make it a rule. Be inflexible. One of my rules is that I do not skip meals. Oftentimes that means I eat my meal during meetings. I know many of you who are leaders in the congregation have seen me eating. I've also left meetings to go get something to eat, and I have also brought food for everyone to some meetings. I also have a rule that I won't go to evening meetings 2 nights in a row. That's a big line in the sand to draw when you serve a church. But it's important to me, and we make it work here at Chalice. Find what works for you, make it a rule, and follow it. Our reading this morning reminded us of the importance of ritual around dinner time, and our story lifted up the rituals of the Jewish Sabbath, Shabbat. Small rituals like lighting a candle and eating dinner at the table, and more substantive rituals like setting aside time for rest and play every week, can be a powerful way to build more margin into your life. Developing routines and rituals takes time and commitment. Just as you aren't magically going to have more time on your hands, you're not going to magically find it easy to schedule more breaks for yourself or to set aside an evening or a morning for leisure. If these things were easy to do, you're already doing them. We've been talking this year about voluntary simplicity, and its five characteristics demonstrates intention and choice, reduces wastefulness and consumption, reduces our environmental footprint in favor of sustainability, cultivates non-materialistic sources of pleasure and satisfaction, and values community, relationship, and interdependence. Slowing down and building more margin into our lives hits three of these, demonstrating intention and choice, cultivating non-materialistic sources of pleasure and satisfaction, and if we can build in more time with our friends and family, valuing community, relationship, and interdependence. The irony is that having more margin in our lives, more spaciousness, more breathing room, will help us be more productive and more creative. More margin will also give us more room for reflection, for prayer or meditation, for stillness, for sitting at the dock of the bay, wasting time. Our busyness seems to be part of our human condition. Sabbath practices of rest are ancient. Richard Swenson wrote in 2003, "We have too much complexity, technology, traffic, information, possessions, debt, expectations, advertisement, and media." He wrote that 13 years ago, for like 2003, that was easy. His words seem even truer today. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. We do not follow 2 inches behind the next car on the interstate. That would leave no margin for error. Why then do we insist on leaving no buffer, no space, no reserves in our day-to-day? May this morning's service inspire you to slow down, whatever your pace is, to step outside for sunshine and fresh air, to light a candle and have dinner at the table. You don't have to do less. You just need to give yourself a greater margin. May it be so.